This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It is Thursday as everybody reacts to the big tariff announcement yesterday. And there's good news, there's bad news, there's all kinds of reactions, as you can imagine, to this. Some American companies have responded by saying they're going to be doubling down on investments in America. Some have responded with layoffs. And I think everybody is in a wait, watch, and see mode at this present time and moment. The president said today, which is reassuring, countries are going to be calling to make deals. So that means, hopefully, they will be calling to make deals. And that will mean that that will result in freer, fairer trade that will benefit the United States of America. And then, okay, good. That would be great. If that is the outcome, that would be fantastic. I don't think that many countries are going to sit back and try to do reciprocal tariffs, because I don't think it benefits them to do so. And I think that there is a point where these countries are going to say, well, if we're going to have to make this work for the sake of importing into America, then we're going to have to make this work, and we're going to have to find a way to make it work. That's what I hope happens. I think we're all hoping that happens, obviously. I mean, everybody's being very optimistic right now and hoping that the president will be able to make these deals, that these countries will lower their tariffs they have against the United States, we'll have level playing field, and then the markets will rebound and everybody will be happy. All right. I mean, that's the hope. That's the hope here. And though, look, the president ran on this, like I've been saying, he got elected on this. This is what he's been promising to do. And he's delivering on what he said he would do. And there's a lot of blue collar workers out there today who are very happy about this, who believe that this is going to be the greatest thing for America. And there's some auto companies, there are American auto companies that are seizing on this right now, taking advantage of this and turning around and saying, yeah, you know what? We're going to double down in America. And we're going to double down on making everything in America, even the components that we import from other countries around the world, like Mexico and others. Yeah, I mean, that's what's happening as we speak right now. The Dow is down. Obviously, it's getting hammered. But we've seen that before. And we know that the markets go up, they go down. It's a snapshot in time. It's not the end of the world. I don't think people should panic. I think that basically at this point, anybody who thinks that we are either this is either going to be the greatest thing in the world or the worst thing in the world is getting ahead of their skis. It's way too early to tell yet what the effect of this is going to be. I'm just telling you. I mean, it's a mix of either this is going to cause the global recession 2.0 and lead us into the 1930s all over again, or it's going to unleash 1,000 years of prosperity. I think it's too early to tell where this all goes. It's only been a day since this was announced. I don't think people should be jumping off buildings. I also, at the same time, think that it's very obvious that a lot of these countries out there around the world should be very nervous about American grocery stores and others finding alternatives to their products if these tariffs are going to drive up the cost of goods for consumers. Like, for example, coffee that comes from overseas. And so there's lots of places to get coffee around the world. And if it's a country like Costa Rica, for example, that has now getting hit with tariffs that the United States has imposed against Costa Rica. And Costa Rica, which ironically does not have tariffs against the U.S., starts raising those prices. I don't know what to say about that. I don't know what that means other than I guess we switched to Colombian. I mean, we need our coffee. So the president says there's going to be short-term pain, and then he says it's going to be a long-term economic boom. That's what he's saying. And Republicans are all standing by him on this. The people that voted for Trump are standing by him on this. And everybody around Trump is saying the markets are going to boom. Be patient. Give it time. The markets will boom. So he got elected saying he was going to do this. And, you know, as you look at the reaction from people that are in the media, of course, they're going to all scream doom and gloom. That's what they do. That's what they get paid to do. So they're always going to report the worst. Is that going to drive some consumer discomfort? Absolutely. Yes, of course. I mean, if you turn on CNBC today or you turn on any other financial channel and it's pure panic, pure doom and gloom, of course. So you'd expect that. You would expect that that's absolutely going to happen. And you would expect that that's going to drive some people to then be very, very nervous and then make choices which are going to make other people very, very nervous. But it's been a day. Not even 24 hours yet. So I think everybody has to take a deep breath, understand that there's deals going on behind the scenes right now where these countries who are looking to be in the United States marketplace are going to try to make it fair as best as they possibly can. And hopefully that works to everybody's benefit. Because like I told you, the insurance policy on all of this is that Donald Trump wants to go down as the most popular president of all time, who's achieved economic success, who has made America prosperous. He does not want anything less. That's the insurance policy you have on all this. I mean, it really is. That's the insurance policy you have. I can't imagine him sitting around if these policies don't work and not readjusting because he wants to go down in history as a very popular, beloved, successful president. He doesn't want to go out in history as a guy who brought the American economy to its knees. So I think that's your insurance policy in all this. I really do. I think that's the insurance policy. If you're nervous today, that it's that he's got one term because he's not going to run for a second term. He's got one term. He wants to accomplish this. He fully believes this is going to work. He fully believes this is going to bring about the economic prosperity boom that America needs and will keep us going for forever. This coupled with deregulation on a massive scale, tax cuts and bringing industries here, easing those regulatory barriers to get them here. And then you'd have an American boom on a lot of things. That's what he thinks. That's what he hopes, what he believes, what he sincerely, passionately believes. I don't think he's doing this out of any other reason. And he wants to be successful. So there's your insurance policy. If you're nervous today, that's the tonic I can offer you to calm your nerves and calm your anxiety. Because I understand a lot of people are nervous today. They're looking at the market and they're freaking out. I get it. But he doesn't want to go down in history as anything other than a success because his entire life has been guided by that principle of success. So if this doesn't work or if it's not working, he's going to adjust. He will. He's going to adjust because that's just how Donald Trump views the game. This is, I don't mean the game is it in a sport, but I mean the game of negotiation, the game of business. So it's the only tonic I can offer you at this point. I can tell you that politically speaking, there's a lot of people in this country who are very happy today. They feel like America is finally stepping up and protecting the American worker. I hope that they're proven right. I hope that they are absolutely excited. In a few months and a few years, you want nothing but the best to come from this, obviously. And they feel like the president is finally going to bat for them and going to bat for their marketplace. Like why we don't have cars in Europe, for example. We don't export cars to Europe because of all the trade barriers that are there. We don't export a lot of our dairy products and agricultural products to China, for example, because of all the regulatory barriers that China puts on our stuff. So they want to see those things come down. They want to see a fair marketplace. They very much view this as trade deals have led to their jobs going away, and they want to see those jobs coming back. And they want to see those American products being exported around the world on the global stage. They voted for him for that reason. He's a different kind of Republican than Republicans in the past, because this is a policy. These policies that he's rolling out traditionally have been the kind of policies that the Republican Party has shrugged and shunned. But that's why he generated a new electoral base, a populist working class base that is very excited about this today. And they view it as all of these jobs have gone away because of deals that benefited people at the upper end of the income level at the detriment and the behest of people on the lower end of the income level in the middle class of America. And they feel like they've been screwed, and they feel like Trump is doing something that is going to directly benefit them because they work for a living with their hands, and they want more opportunities, and they want the goods that they produce in this country to be able to be on the world stage in a fair way to be competitive in other markets, places like the EU, China, and other countries. That's what they're saying. That's what they're saying. My advice is give the president a chance to get this done, because I truly believe that these countries around the world are going to do everything they possibly can to meet him where he wants them to be so that they can lower the tariffs. That's what I truly believe. I absolutely believe that. I don't believe that he wants a trade war. I don't think he really in any way, shape or form wants that. But he talks tough because he doesn't want these countries to think he's bluffing. And these countries are already very nervous about this. But America has something that they don't, which is that we have the ability to absorb more of this than they do. And I'll explain what that means as the show goes on today. This is what the president said on the way to Marine One, taking off today from the White House. He said the markets are going to boom. Let's hope he's right. Take a listen.
I think it's going very well. It was an operation, like when a patient gets operated on, and it's a big thing. I said this would exactly be the way it is. We have $6 or $7 trillion coming into our country, and we've never seen anything like it. The markets are going to boom, the stock is going to boom, the country is going to boom, and the rest of the world wants to see, is there any way they can make a deal? They've taken advantage of us for many, many years. For many years, we've been at the wrong side of the ball, and I'll tell you what, I think it's going to be unbelievable. The thing that people have to talk about, we're up almost to $7 trillion of investment coming into our country, and you'll see how it's going to turn out. Our country's going to boom.
And you heard him say, these other countries are going to want to make a deal. So I think that is the key right there. These other countries are going to want to make a deal. And that's what everyone should, why I say take a deep breath here. Take a deep breath, relax, and wait, because I do think I think he's right. These countries are going to want to make a deal. And I think in the short term, America has the ability to absorb all of this. I really do. I think that in the short term, America has the ability to absorb all of this. You just have to be patient and understand that we have an advantage that they don't. To explain that a little bit more, the chair of the Council of Economic Advisors, Steve Miron, made this point. Now, it's a little bit heady economically in the weeds about, you know, who's got the upper hand here. But just think about in the sense of America having the upper hand versus some of these other countries around the world, and why it is that I think eventually they're going to make a deal that makes Trump happy, which then the tariffs then go away on them because they will have no choice, basically. Cut 30.
Yeah, so the reason why I don't think tariffs are inflationary at all is because traditional economic analysis, what economists call incidence analysis, argues that the more inflexible party bears the burden of the of any policy, whether it's a tariff, a tax, a subsidy, anything at all. And we're very flexible. We can substitute into home production. We can substitute among different exporting countries, whereas other countries are much more inflexible because they've organized their entire economies around exporting to the American consumer. There is no substitute for the American consumer. That gives us the leverage and means that ultimately, in the long run, they'll bear the burden of the tax. What that means is no material price increases for Americans in the long run.
No material price increases for Americans in the long run. They'll bear the burden of the tax so that they can continue to compete in the United States of America. If that's the case, amazing, right? I mean, then that's amazing. If that happens, then that's outstanding. Or because they need to compete in America, and they do, they need to sell their products here in America, then they're going to pick up the phone, call the president, and lower whatever regulatory barriers their governments have imposed upon American exports to level the playing field. And that's what these American workers are looking for. They're looking for a level playing field. There isn't a level playing field right now. Nobody can argue there's a level playing field right now. So that's what the goal here is. And I think these countries would be nuts if they didn't try to call Trump and work this out. That's my opinion of this. That's why, like I said, I think if you're thinking either this is going to work out to be like these tariffs are going to bring in all this money that we're going to get rid of the income tax, I think you're getting ahead of your skis. If you think this is going to lead to a global recession, depression bigger than the 1930s or similar, you're getting ahead of your skis. Both sides of the are getting ahead of their skis here. It's too early to tell, even if these tariffs are going to last a week. Honestly, it really is. It's too early to tell if these tariffs, because I've seen people on social media say these tariffs are going to lead to the end of the income tax. That's way too early to make that assumption. I've seen other people say these tariffs are going to lead to the kind of trade war and isolationism that is going to send America into the worst economic depression. It's going to make the 1930s look like the 1990s. I think you're getting way ahead of yourself here, too. We don't know if these tariffs are going to be here on Monday. Honestly, we don't. This is all moving at such a lightning pace right now. But there's a lot of panic out there, and there's a lot of people that get paid money to scare you. There's a lot of people out there that get paid to put out the worst possible scenario on everything. And that's their job. Their job is to generate clicks, and their job is to generate views by going out there and talking about the economic doom that is going to happen, which then, of course, makes the markets nervous, which then, of course, makes consumers nervous, which then has a trickle-down effect on making everybody nervous. But I think the reality is this is we're 24 hours into this. Do you know for a fact that we're going to be talking about this on Monday in the same way we're talking about it today on Thursday? No, nobody does. That's the thing. Nobody does. Because Donald Trump is convinced that these countries are going to come to the table. And look, he has been saying this now for 30, 40 years. Firmly believing this, and he's surrounded by people that are very smart economic people who firmly believe this too. So I think everybody has to just take a deep breath. I really do. I think you got to take a deep breath. There's some very positive things that are happening as a result of this. Like, for example, General Motors just announced that it will increase truck production at its assembly plant in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That's a very positive thing. Cut 29.
We were waiting to confirm this directly with General Motors, and now we have. And you tell me if this is already a sign that things are happening in President Trump's favor. A General Motors spokesperson is now confirming there was a webcast to employees a short time ago. GM will be making operational adjustments at its Fort Wayne assembly, including hiring temporary employees to support current manufacturing and business needs. We continuously update and revise production schedules as part of our standard process of evaluating and aligning to manage vehicle inventory. This after initially Reuters was reporting on that webcast that they're going to be adding overtime hours for their employees, and they're going to be bringing some of that. They're going to be increasing the production of their light duty trucks at that American
fabulous
facility.
And I think the former Commerce Secretary, Carlos Gutierrez, put it best when he made the prediction that these tariffs are not going to be here by the back half of 2025. I agree with him. I think it's going to be even sooner than that, although we're almost to the back half of 2025 because it's April already, which is amazing. This year is flying by. Oh, my God. Cut number eight.
Thanks for joining
us. Thank you,
what do you make of these tariffs right now and, the ultimate impact to the U.S. economy and trade?
Well, I would say, like most people, this was stronger than what many of us expected. But it's, you know, it's the opening step. So I would assume that this will not be in place in a month, 2 months, definitely not in the back half of the year. So I'm in the camp that this is the beginning of a big negotiation. I would put
a big negotiation. In fact, he did a good job of breaking down Trump's tariff strategy and why this is going to work and why he's going to have a slew of victories here. This is cut number 9.
Negotiation. I would put these tariffs in 4 groups. Number 1 is automobiles. And really, that comes down to Mexico, Canada, and Germany. Korea and Japan don't charge tariffs for automobiles anymore. So Mexico and Canada will most likely be addressed with the USMCA agreement. That's scheduled for 26, but that will be brought forward, hopefully in the next month or two. And the autos will be folded into that discussion. Germany, it's about, you know, they charge us 10%. We charge them 2.5. That could be fixed. And it's not only about bringing production back, but it's also about market access. So if Germany brings down their tariffs, then that gives U.S. companies more access to the German market. The second group are these reciprocal tariffs. And this is all about negotiation. So we're going to be hearing about tariffs for quite a while now. And the president has set the stage for what he loves to do. He'll be negotiating every single day for the foreseeable future, which each one of these countries. It's interesting, as we think about, is this designed for negotiation or are these permanent? Vietnam yesterday reduced their tariff regime considerably, but the president didn't mention it. And he still included Vietnam with some very steep tariffs. So that tells me that he will use what Vietnam is already intending to do to name as a victory. And the president will be looking for victories. And with this number of countries, I believe he will have a slew of victories that he can point to. The third group is the 10% from all countries. And that's an interesting one. I wouldn't discard that as being a move just to prevent supply chains from moving. And that's an interesting one. We can return to that. The fourth one I would put is China. I wouldn't lump China into these other groups. China is a group on its own. China will require a very special negotiation. It will not be a phone call to talk about autos. That will be something more important, more consequential, and that's hard to predict. It could be a trade deal or it could be something a lot bigger. But definitely bigger than I thought, but each one has a piece. Each one has a solution. I do not believe that these tariffs will be in place going into the second half of the year.
Okay. I mean, if he's right, then this is going to be a huge success, and then everybody's going to look back and say, this was a fantastic move, because we have now leveled the playing field, and these countries that had regulatory barriers to American goods, they will remove those regulatory barriers, which will then enable America to compete with exports to those countries of various things from agriculture to cars to other things. So I think everybody has to take a deep breath. There's no time to start jumping off buildings. This is not 1930 or whatever, you know, and this is 24 hours into this thing yet. We got a long way to go here. There's a lot of reaction. There's a lot of people already taking advantage of this. We're going to talk all about that as the show continues today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Let's talk about also the judges, reckless rogue judges, and what we're doing about them. We're going to talk about a brave woman who refused to fence a biological male. All that straight ahead for you on a busy, busy Thursday. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Return to the tariff topic throughout the show today. Obviously, it's going to be the big story of the day, without question, brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Venaria. Venaria Dental, go see him today for your perfect smile. V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VenariaDental.com. There's also a new book out called Fight. You've heard a lot about it. It's all about the inside of the 2024 campaign with Biden dropping out of the race. We'll have one of the authors on the show today at 4 o'clock. We'll see if my theory is correct, that the debate in June was a setup to get Joe Biden out of the race. But let's turn to judges for a second, because that story we need to keep our attention on that as well. The out of control judiciary and what we can do about it. So joining me now is one of the surrogates for President Donald Trump, our buddy David Gelman, criminal defense attorney, former prosecutor and surrogate for Donald Trump's legal team. His latest article in The Hill, Judges, Stay in Your Lane and Stay Out of Politics. So you invoked a little bit of your Jersey driver in the title of that, huh?
You know, I learned from you.
That's what you got to do.
Yeah. You know, you and I talk about this a lot, too, that it's become more and more activist judges on the district bench, especially in D.C., which is not really a surprise. And I was on a TV program a week ago, and I was talking about it, and I said, judges, stay in your lane. And it clicked. So, voila, I'm more than a pretty face.
Although, having driven with you, you don't typically stay in your lane. You're usually in the left lane and then going around people who are slow in the left lane. And then, you know, but that's again, for another show.
That's for another day.
That's for another day. So how do we keep them in our lane, first of all, in their lane, first of all? What needs to happen here? Because these federal judges are obviously making rulings, stopping President Trump, and they are doing this on a nationwide injunction, but they have a district. So first of all, explain to us how these districts work and these federal judges and how they're not, like, it's not like one federal judge for the whole country, for example.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, and I actually had to do some more research. You know, probably should have learned this in law school, I guess. But well, I had to do research again.
A lot of things you should have learned in law school, Gilman. But that's for another show.
True. Again, another day. but the Congress, they fund, defund. They really are the ones that control district courts. Okay, and they need another district court. Congress is a place that has to say, all right, we'll do it. Congress can make a law that prohibits district federal judges from enacting injunctions nationwide. If a federal judge wants to do an injunction, meaning wants to stop something like the illegal immigrants being flown to El Salvador, perfect example. If they want to stop that, they can only do it for they should only be able to do it for their district, wherever they are, D.C., New York, Jersey, wherever it is. It can't be doing it for the entire nation. That's what is the big, stepping stone here. That's what Congress needs to enact. And only Congress can do this, Rich. Nobody else. The president can't do this. SCOTUS can't do this. Nobody else but Congress. And, Chuck Grassley, the senator for Iowa, who is the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, he's already starting this process. So I'm anticipating that Congress will act actually quickly, which is surprisingly because they don't act quickly on anything. And also, I think this is also going to be a bipartisan issue where so I think there's going to be support from Democrats and Republicans. Again, doesn't very happen often in Congress, but if for something like this, I think it's going to.
Really? Because, I mean, it seems like the Democrats are hell-bent on trying to stop Donald Trump any way they can. And I think a lot of them are looking at these judges as the heroes of the resistance.
Well, look, you're not going to have like Jasmine Crockett or people like that voting for it, obviously. But you're going to have some Democrats that are going to be voting for it. Look, when the issue of abortion came about last year and the year before, okay, perfect example, there was nationwide injunctions. Democrats didn't like that, all right, because a judge in Texas stopped all abortions. So, you know, it goes both ways. Again, I think Democrats are going to get on board on this. Not all of them, but I bet a lot of them will. And I think it's going to pass with flying colors in D.C. Again, doesn't happen often.
And then so what would then occur if, say, there was an issue where there was a nationwide injunction? Would that only then be issued by the United States Supreme Court?
Yes, exactly. So the Supreme Court, they have authority to make nationwide laws. The appellate division of the district courts, they could potentially do nationwide. But a district court alone cannot, or should not, I should say, be able to just grant a motion that will affect the entire country. It's elite. It's really unethical if you think about it. How is a judge who, in this particular case, Boasberg, who has conflicts, as we're aware, with his daughter and wife, how is he going to make legislation pretty much for the entire country? Was he voted on by the people of the United States? Nope. Does he have an agenda? Yes. And everybody can see that agenda, pretty quickly. Look, he wants the administration, the Trump administration, to bring back the people from El Salvador.
Right. Bring them back. Yeah. David Gelman's with me right now, one of Trump's surrogate attorneys. Yeah. Bring them back from El Salvador. That's a new one.
Yeah. Let's go get a couple American Airlines flights. El Salvador. You know, we'll get some movies on the flight. You know, maybe some popcorn and some peanuts. Bring them back.
We don't even get that on flights. What are you talking about that? I mean, you fly first class, so I guess, you know, you get that. But no, but here's the other thing, too. I mean, on that point of El Salvador, right, or anywhere where you're talking about outside of the United States of America, there's never been an instance where a judge has told a commander in chief what he can't do. Like, I mean, imagine a judge filing an injunction against a missile that's just taken off, you know, demanding that the president turn around like an aircraft carrier.
Don't give them ideas, Rich.
Yeah, seriously, right? I know. That's true.
Yeah. You're exactly right. Look, that's why we have separate branches of the government. We have the legislature, we have the executive branch, which is President Trump, and we have the judiciary. Everybody should stay in their lane.
Now,
judiciary, their job is not to make the law. It's to interpret the law. The executive branch, they are to enact the law. And the legislature, they're the ones that create the laws. All right. It's all very simple. All right. We all learned this in our,
Schoolhouse Rock.
Yeah. So it's really not that difficult to figure out. But these judges, they have a total different agenda than everybody else.
Yeah.
And look, the American people, they can see it. Look, they voted for Donald Trump. He got the majority vote. He has an agenda. Everybody knew exactly what he was going to do. He was going to be tough on crime. He was going to deport illegals. And by the way, they have no due process rights, which I know has been another big issue. But, you know, Trump is doing everything that he campaigned for. I don't know why it's a surprise for anybody. But, you know, look, the good news is, and again, you know this as well as I do, the legal team for Trump and the administration, the DOJ, they knew this was going to be coming. We all knew that the Democrats were not going to just go willy-nilly into the night saying, uh-oh, you know, President Trump's here. Everything's going to, you know, we're going to let him do that. They're going to fight tooth and nail. They did it in the first administration. They're going to do it again now. So we have a plan in place. We already have briefs. Everything's always already prepared. It's not like, you know, this is being caught by surprise by anybody. You know, it's just going to take a little time now.
David's latest piece at The Hill, thehill.com, is federal judges stay in your lane, which is a great piece, must read. Stay in your lane and out of politics. We'll post a link to it. And then, you know, the last point before I let you go is that I think these judges, like Boasberg, for example, I think a lot of these guys, what they're doing is they're auditioning for the United States Supreme Court, for whoever the next Democrat is. They want to be the person who gets tapped. These are political animals. I mean, people don't realize outside of politics that you don't become a federal judge unless you're involved in politics in some way, shape, or form, because that's the only way the senators know who you are, and they're usually the ones that pick you. You know, with the White House typically very often doesn't get involved in this. You know, sometimes if they really have a strong candidate, but for a lot of times it's left up to the Senate. And these people are political animals. And so they have ambition, like every other person does, but particularly in this sense. And they all dream of being on the Supreme Court one day. I think this guy Boasberg is using this as his gigantic audition piece.
I think you're exactly right. I mean, he's like Mershon 2.0, if you think about it. He's going to go everything against Trump, against Republicans. And I guess his, you know, main plan eventually is, there's going to be a Democrat who's going to be the president one day, and they're going to look at Boasberg like, ooh, he went against the President Trump. He'd be a great candidate for the Supreme Court.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Listen, thanks for making time today on the show. We appreciate it. Follow David on X at David Gelman Esquire. And if you see him coming on 295, stay in your lane.
Thanks, Rich. Hey, always great being with you, buddy.
And still the best slogan in all of law. Just because you did it doesn't mean you're guilty.
Bingo.
There you go. All right, buddy. Thanks for making the time.
Talk to you.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue along the show today, rain. It's a gloomy freaking day out there. But as my wife reminded me today, because she's always a sunny optimist, April showers bring May flowers. Of course, you know, me being the cynic, I said, yeah, they also bring wet basements. But not in my home, because we had Garden State Earthworks come and drain the water away, and I'm so glad they did. And that's what it could be like for you and your family with your home. GardenStateEarthworks.com. They're super busy this time of year, obviously, because a lot of people dealing with water, they know that these water problems are extremely expensive and you got to deal with them before they cause lots and lots of damage. That's what I mean. The problems that they create are expensive for you. Garden State Earthworks, though, is not. And they will have a solution for you that is guaranteed and permanent. So you want to reach out to them and call them at 856-848-4444, 856-848-4444. Now, you tell them I sent you, and my buddy Lou will make you a priority. So before these rains really get going for spring, whatever water problems you have in your property, gone. They drain it away. And that means you're going to have a drier backyard so mosquitoes don't breed, the water doesn't get in your basement, crack your foundation, destroy your swimming pool liner, whatever it is. GardenStateEarthworks.com. Remember, these water problems never go away on their own. They only cost you more and more expensive headaches. So deal with it now. 856-848-4444.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thank you. I appreciate all the nice comments. I was on Newsmax earlier today, as a matter of fact. I was on Newsmax like 11:45 or something like that. Time is lost on me at this point. So weigh in and give me your thoughts on everything we're talking about today. We have a guest. I'm very excited to talk to the author of the book Fight. I was reading a lot of it, and you know, the whole getting Joe Biden out of the race thing and shivving him and the role of the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, and how she's always lurking in the shadows and all this. And of course, the Chicago mob boss, Barack Obama, also lurking in the shadows. So we'll have that conversation at 4 o'clock. And I'm going to ask her, you know, flat out, do you think the media should have done more to really highlight what Joe Biden was going through? Because I mean, it's easy now to write books, but where were you guys during the campaign? When we were being told that we were being gaslit by the administration, that these were all cheap fakes and deep fakes and everything else. And we'll see what else we learn from everything that's happening with regards to whatever insider details they have in the book. So we'll find out for you as well. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zioli. This is the this morning, a guy from Ford was on. He was on Fox and Friends, and I'm pull up this clip for you right now. We could play here. So this is the guy. I said this to you, Matt, earlier today. Ford is offering American customers American pricing. I don't know if this is the CEO of Ford or not, but it was certainly somebody high up in Ford who was on Fox and Friends talking to Brian Kilmeade about this morning. Take a listen.
Exactly right. For the next couple of months, we're going to offer our customers the same deal that our employees get. And as you say, that's worth thousands of dollars. You come into our store, you get employee pricing. This is kind of to call a little bit of a timeout. We've heard some uncertainty from our customers, and we want them to be assured that Ford, the most American auto company, is going to do right by them, as are our dealers. We make the most cars here. We employ the most. We export the most. And so we here at Ford, we're in a good position to address customers' concern and give them a really great deal on a great vehicle.
So that's great.
Now, Ford, for example, manufactures cars in Germany. They also manufacture, they have a plant in Cologne, and they have a plant in Syracuse. They also have a hub in some other European countries as well. Now, the thing about this is that when Ford is building cars in Europe, it's obviously not paying tariffs on those automobiles. So they've decided to open up plants over there. Ford Chief Policy Officer Steve Crowley. Thank you, Matt. They've opened up manufacturing plants in Europe to build cars there to sell in Europe without the tariffs. That's the strategy that President Trump wants to see here in the United States of America. He wants to see European cars, all of them for the most part, come over here to the United States and start building their cars here and have plants here versus just loading them on a freight, you know, these big cargo ships and just shipping them here. See what I mean? That's the difference. What he also wants, what he's hoping this achieves, is that the American workers, the auto workers, so then that opens up jobs for auto workers, right? So now you're an American, but you're building a European car, a European-owned car, but you're building that car. You have a job in America. They are employing American jobs here in the United States. That's what Trump is hoping happens. The other thing is that America will then load a bunch of cars onto cargo ships and then they'll sell their cars overseas to companies, to countries that have such high tariffs that it makes no sense to enter the marketplace unless they were to manufacture there. That's what he hopes comes out of this. And if that's what happens out of this, great. Then fantastic. Then that would be a wonderful thing. Because everybody then can take a nice deep breath. Ford opened manufacturing facilities in Europe to avoid the tariffs, and then they build those cars there and they sell them in the European marketplace. You've got Hyundai now doing that here, Volvo doing that here. You've got a number of other car companies doing that. The more of them that do that and commit to doing that, the better, because they're not bringing the workers with them. They're just bringing the product here. They're bringing the brand, and then it has to be built here in the United States of America. And then you're gonna have more American jobs for auto workers. And the auto workers who are very worried about their jobs going away someday through automation and everything else, which, look, I mean, some of that's inevitable, obviously, but the more opportunities to be able to build cars here in the U.S., the more that that's a hedge against that, at least insofar as they can, you're hopefully going to need some physical human labor involved in this process. So they're hoping that that's the way this goes, and then everybody wins. And I don't predict this lasting long. I really don't. I do not predict this lasting long. I think that it's going to – that's what I'm saying. And people who are – there's two sides right now. There's one side that thinks that these tariffs are going to be in place for so long that it's going to lead to the end of income taxes. I don't think that's true. And there's another side that thinks these tariffs are going to be in place so long that it's going to lead to a global depression. I don't think so. I don't think either side is correct. Yeah, I hate to be the like guy in the middle. It's not typically the place I am. But on this issue, I think the reasonable, rational approach to this is to just take a deep breath, wait and see, and see how these companies and see how these countries react. And there's a lot of internal pressure, remember, going on in their countries right now by these companies that sell in the United States of America that want to keep doing business in the United States of America, but don't want to have to add such enormous fees to their product or lay off people and then they can't build the product or whatever it is. They don't want disruption in the marketplace. The market is reacting to the disruption because the market likes certainty, obviously, and there's a lot of uncertainty right now. So it's to be expected that the market's going to be all over the place. It doesn't like uncertainty. That's like a universal rule. Everybody knows that. You don't have to be an economist to know that. That's just the way the market is. But right now, as we speak, there are deals being made and deals being cut. I don't see this lasting long. Now, that may disappoint people. You know, that may disappoint people who want these tariffs to be in place because they believe that they can be the income source that America needs to be able to get rid of income taxes and then propel America towards this great wealth. That may disappoint you then if these tariffs wind up going away next week. Or the week after, or whatever, or if they get lowered to such a degree that it's negligible in terms of their ability to really offset income taxes or something like that. You may be disappointed, but I think everybody's just getting ahead of their skis. A phrase Rush used to use all the time, getting ahead of your skis here. And I think Harrison Fields said it very well. You know, the market would prefer the status quo. He's one of the deputy White House press secretaries. I like Harrison a lot. He's a good dude. He's a very down-to-earth guy. Really is. Good down-to-earth guy. And I think he's right about this. I think the markets would prefer just everything to stay the way it is. That's always the way the markets are, though. Cut number four.
Well, you're right. There's been a lot of fear-mongering, and we have to level set. And that's what we've been doing since we made this announcement. Listen, the market would prefer the status quo, but the status quo has not worked for the American people for decades. President Trump had a choice. Do I stand with America, or do I stand with the world, and they're taking advantage of the United States worker? He obviously made a choice. It was an easy choice for him. It's something he's been supporting for over three decades. He decided to stand with the United States of America and our working class, something that most presidents have ignored for decades. These things aren't easy to do. It would have been easy for President Trump to go along with the status quo. He wasn't
elected to follow. All right, let me take a quick break. When we come back, the author of the book Fight Inside the Crazy 2024 Election and How They Got Rid of Joe Biden with His Cadaver Makeup. You don't want to miss this. We're streaming live on YouTube. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.